3 this morning. 1 John chapter number 3, we'll read a verse here and then go to chapter 4. And I do want to say I appreciate y'all supporting us each month. That is a blessing and a help to us, and we thank you for it. And helps us get on down the road, amen?
Amen.
So if you don't like us today, amen, we'll get on out of the way and go somewhere else. 1 John chapter number 3. I'll be honest with you, my purpose for being here, it ain't got nothing to do with trying to get you to like me. I just hope you love him more.
Amen.
When we leave here today. 1 John 3, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Go to chapter number 4, look at verse number 10. Verse 10 says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Look down at verse number 19. "We love him because he first loved us." John, here in these verses, he writes to us about God's love for us. And I don't know about you this morning, I'm thankful that he loves us. I don't know why he would show interest in me. I do not understand why he would care for me and love me, but I'm glad I don't have to understand it to know that it is the truth. And one day I trusted him, I received that love, and now he loves me with an everlasting love. And I thank God for that. Now the writer of these verses we just read is John the Beloved. And really, who more qualified to write about the love of God than John the Beloved? I say that based on several things. 6 times in the Gospel of John, you'll find a form of the phrase, "the disciple whom Jesus loved." Now, John didn't write that about himself in arrogance. He didn't have a high opinion of himself. John was just simply writing down what the Holy Ghost told him to write down. Could you imagine if you're John and you're just sitting there writing under divine inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and you write these words and you know he's talking about you, and you write down, "the disciple whom Jesus loved." I mean, John probably said, "Lord, now hold on. Are you talking about me? John, you know I'm talking about you. Okay, I just had to check." I mean, if I was John, I'd have to take a time out, make a few laps around the house, amen? The disciple whom Jesus loved. I wonder if he could say that about me. If he could say that about you. I think about the Last Supper as Jesus gathered with the disciples there in that little upper room. And they all gathered there that day at the table, and apparently they all sat on the same side of the table according to one famous painting. I don't know if there's any truth to that or not, but they sat there and Jesus made the announcement that one of the disciples was going to betray him. And when he announced that, 10 of the disciples said, "Lord, is it I?" Judas was there and Judas said, "Master, is it I?" Then there was John. The Bible said in John 13, 23, "Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved." Here John was closer to Jesus than all the rest. And when Jesus announced that one would betray him, while the rest of them were saying, "Lord, is it I? Master, is it I?" John perked up in verse 25 of that chapter. He said, "Lord, who is it?" He knew it wasn't him. See, his conscience was clear because he was closer than all the rest. So when Jesus said that, John just jumped up and said, "Lord, who is it? Let's just have a business meeting right now. We'll vote that sucker out now." I don't know about you, I want to be close like John was. And we can be. You can be as close to the Lord, and I can be as close to the Lord. Let me say, we are as close to the Lord right here and right now as we want to be. You can be like Peter and you can talk a big talk, but as soon as things get tough, Peter's gone. You can be like Thomas and say, I'll believe only if I can touch and see and feel. That's a believer that goes on feelings a little bit too much. And there's a lot of those today. You can be like Judas and you can hang around the Lord his whole ministry. You can be close by him, still die and go straight to hell. Or you can be like John. Close, a clean, clear conscience. I think about John chapter number 19 as Jesus is dying on the cross of Calvary. There he is hanging there on the cross, bleeding, suffering, dying in agony for the sins of this world. The Bible said in John 19 verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved. As our Lord hung on the cross of Calvary that day, all the multitudes had fled. It was just a little handful of women and John. John witnessed with eyes of flesh the greatest love that's ever been shown to this old world. What we as believers see through eyes of faith in the Scripture, John saw it with his own eyes. He saw the love of Calvary's cross that was demonstrated there that day. And I believe, brother and sister, it's that love right there that he has in mind all these many years later as he writes here in 1 John chapter 3 and chapter 4. I believe it's the love of Calvary's cross he's got in mind. I want to preach just for a few minutes this morning on the love of Calvary's cross. John, in these verses, he describes the love of Calvary's cross in three different ways, and I'll give them to you, and we'll go eat and fellowship a little bit. But number one, I want us to see the manner of Calvary's love. Go back to chapter number 3, and let's read verse number 1 again. He said there in chapter 3, verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. He makes a reference to this manner of love. And I don't know really this morning exactly how to describe the manner of this love, other than I can tell you this, it's not of this world. It's not a worldly love. It is not a sentimental love or a sensual love. A lot of what we talk about in the world today and in society today, when they talk about love, it's nothing but sensuality. It's perverse. This lost world, they know nothing about true love. I see the signs and the different things in the advertisements. Love wins. Well, they're right, love wins. But it ain't their idea of love. It's not their definition of love. When I think about the manner of love, I can tell you this. Its origin is not of humanity, but its origin of heaven. It's of heaven. It's a love that cannot be manufactured. It can't be mimicked by religion, although religion's tried down through the centuries. You're not going to find this love sitting in a confirmation class. You're not going to find it in a confessional booth. You're not going to find it in the baptistry water. You're not going to find it in your church membership. You're not going to find it in your good works and your good deeds and just being a good person. You don't find this love in any of those places. John writes to us about the recognition of this love in chapter 3, verse 1. He says, behold. I like that right there. Behold. That word, behold, it means it's something that we ought to be thinking about. We ought to be looking into. I'd say Calvary and what Jesus did there at the cross for us that day, it demands attention. It's something we ought to be thinking about. Brother John in Sunday school, he was talking about that word muse, something you think on. And then you have a muse means don't think. And he referenced amusement parks and I was thinking just a couple weeks ago, I was preaching up in Ohio and we took a couple days and went to Cedar Point Amusement Park. There's not a lot of thinking going on there. And I was one of them. I wasn't thinking. I had to be thinking something, though, because every time we'd get to the top of one of those big hills on a roller coaster and start to go down, this question went through my mind. What was I thinking? I was thinking something. It wasn't the right thing, but you go to those places and you don't think. You just sort of shut your brain off and you're not thinking. And sadly, we got a lot of people in America today. They're going through life that way. They're not thinking. They're not thinking. They're not thinking. They allow the news media and the politicians to do their thinking for them. I tell you something that demands attention this morning. It's not the midterms. It's not COVID. What demands our attention this morning is what Jesus Christ did for us that day on the cross of Calvary, when He laid down His life, when He gave up the ghost, when He cried, "It is finished," and He did it all for you and He did it all for me. Amen. It demands attention. We spend most of our days and most of our week thinking about everything but God and Jesus and Calvary. It's something that too often, too many believers, they've reserved it for Sunday only. It's like putting this jacket on. We put our Christianity on Sunday and head down to the church house. And then as soon as we get home Sunday night, we take it off and we don't put it back on till the next Sunday. You don't have Christianity, you got churchianity. Amen. I tell you what Jesus Christ did for us at Calvary that day, it demands attention. It deserves appreciation. When's the last time you really stopped and thought about and beheld and showed appreciation for the cross of Calvary and the blood of Jesus Christ? It deserves appreciation. We show appreciation for all kind of things in this life. Back in the spring, May, we had Mother's Day and we show appreciation for our moms. In June, you have Father's Day, and really, that's just to prove that everybody appreciates mom more than they do dad. We have Veterans Day and Memorial Day and all these different days to show appreciation for people. What about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did at Calvary? Man, we go to the ball games and people get excited and pitch a fit. And man, they're standing up shouting and hooping and hollering. And you come to church, if you say amen real loud, everybody's turning around looking at you like, you crazy or something? What are you so excited about? Jesus. Hey, go to the ball game. Have a big time. Nothing wrong with that. When's the last time you got excited about Christ? When's the last time you got stirred up about the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed so that you could be redeemed? When's the last time that stirred your heart? When's the last time that brought tears to your eyes? You ladies, you watch the Hallmark Channel and all the Hallmark movies, and that's fine, nothing wrong with that, except they're all the same. Amen, they're all the same. I can tell you within 5 minutes who's going to end up with who at the end of the movie. I mean, they're all the same. You ladies, you'll sit there and watch them, and you'll just let the tears roll down, but then you come to church, nothing stirs you. Sing about Calvary? Nothing. Sing about the love of God? Nothing. And if you do start to actually get stirred up and the tears, well, I don't want to mess my makeup. I don't want to get my... Let it run, amen. I like to get in a good Holy Ghost service where it gets so thick, it gets so juicy, it's so wonderful that the ladies are just letting it run down their face. I like it, amen. That just tells me there's somebody that they love Jesus more than they care about how they look. They love to worship God more than their appearance. Amen. They're just appreciating what God did for them. Amen. As a kid, we used to watch that show, The Price is Right. Y'all remember that? Come on down. And that announcer, he'd call out a name. Here they'd come. Now let me say, they never came down that aisle like, now, every one of them, every single time, man, woman, didn't matter. Woo! Here they'd come, running down. And they ain't even won anything yet. They just got their name called. Could I say this morning, if God ever called out your name and you answered that call and trusted Him, you've already won. You've already got it all. Amen. I say it deserves appreciation. Amen. The recognition of this love. He said, behold, I see the reaching of this love. He said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. I like that word bestowed. It just gives the idea that this love is something that is gifted to us. It's not something you work for. Do you realize 99% of the denominations out there this morning will come to church and they'll be taught that to be saved and to go to heaven when you die, you've got to have this work in your life. You got to do this and do that. Jesus is part of it, but it's Jesus plus this and Jesus plus that. I got good news. It's Jesus plus nothing. Amen. All you've got to do is exercise faith in what He's already done. Amen. It's bestowed. And I'm glad to tell you that nobody's beyond the reach of His affection. There's not a person in Alvin, Texas, there ain't a person in Houston, Texas, as wicked of a city as that is beyond the reach of His affection. The only person that will die without God and go to hell is the one that just says no. The one that rejects the gift that He offers. The love that is offered. No one's beyond the reach of His affection. You say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know my past. But I got good news for you. You just don't understand how powerful the blood of Jesus Christ is. One drop of that precious blood, it could take care of your sin problem. It could take care of your past. Put it behind you. Amen. Used to hear a song years ago. There was a line in that song that said, that same Jesus you've heard of can take a black heart without love. He can wash it in red blood and make it whiter than snow. And I'm glad one day He did that for me. If you're lost and undone without God here today, He can do it for you. Amen. I see the relationship of this love. He says that we should be called the sons of God. You realize this morning your name, whatever your last name is, it identifies you with a family. My last name is Waters. When I was born June 9th, 1980 in Little Rock, Arkansas, there was no discussion about what my last name was going to be. No doubt they probably had already decided and picked between some first names for me, and I'm real glad they chose something normal like Daniel and didn't get weird with me. Some people weren't so blessed. Some people were wondering what was mom and dad smoking when they gave me that name. Thankfully, I got a fairly normal name, a Bible name. Amen, but my last name was already settled. Because my dad's last name was Waters and his dad's last name was Waters and so on down the line, it was already settled. So that name, it identifies me with the Waters family. Your last name, whatever it is, it identifies you with your family. But I'm glad this morning there's a God in heaven that wanted to identify me as His own child, and He's willing to identify me as His own child. Even when I'm foolish, even when I make blunders and I do dumb things, I'm still His child. I'm glad to be identified as a child of God. The manner of Calvary's love. Let me say secondly this morning, I see the manifestation of Calvary's love. Go back to chapter number 4 there and look at verse number 9. Chapter 4 and verse number 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. That word manifest, Webster defines it as clearly visible to the eye or obvious to the understanding, not obscure or difficult to be seen or understood. You realize this morning because you got a Bible and because God has dealt with every man the measure of faith, you know what you can do? You can look in this book and you can clearly see the love of God manifested through His Son, Jesus Christ, and what He did at Calvary. It is clearly seen through the eye of faith. It doesn't mean that this love was not in existence before Calvary, but it was unseen. It was veiled. throughout the Old Testament of your Bible, you can read through there and you see types and glimpses and foreshadows of things to come. But I'm glad over here on this side of Calvary, it's not just a glimpse. It's not a foreshadow. It's not a type. But we see through faith in Scripture what Jesus did for us that day and how God loved us in sending His Son to do that for us. It's manifested. Paul wrote in Romans 5 verse 8, "But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And by the way, God's love for sinners is never separated from the sacrifice of His Son Jesus. If you read about God's love for this world, it's always attached to the death and suffering of His Son. You can't separate. You can't know the love of God without knowing His Son and what He did at Calvary. Amen. But I'm glad this morning God made His love for us known at Calvary. Lastly, this morning, I see the movement of Calvary's love. It's something that is in action. It's something that's in motion. I'll explain that a little bit more in a second, but look there in chapter 4 in verse number 10. "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." In verse number 19 says, "We love Him because we're so good and holy and sanctified and wonderful and delightful, joyful and triumphant." No, we love Him because He first loved us. That's the only way we can love Him. It's because He first loved us. It's a love that moved towards us. See, God's love for humanity, it moved Him to step out of eternity and to step into time to demonstrate His love for lost sinners. It moved Him to step away from a place of perfection and wonder and holiness to condescend to a world of pollution and perversion and ungodliness and suffering. And He did that just to demonstrate His love for lost humanity. It's love in action. Matter of fact, it's both doing and done. You say, "Preacher, how can it be both? How can it be doing and done?" Well, I'll say it like this. It's done in the sense that Calvary was a one-time thing. It happened one time and it'll never happen again. Jesus cried on the cross, "It is finished." That was His way of saying the plan is done. No more sacrifices. No more blood of bulls and goats. No more priest needed. Amen. It is finished. Redemption's plan. It's done. It's finalized. You can't add to that. I can't add to that. You cannot improve on what Jesus did at the cross of Calvary. People are still trying 2,000 years later, but you can't improve on what Jesus did there that day. It's done. No more sacrifice needed. I even think about the fact that the verses in the Bible that talk about God's love for the world as a whole, they're all in the past tense. Think about John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that's past tense, "that He gave His only begotten Son," that's past tense. I'm going to come back to John 3:16 in just a second. But here's the thing about the love of God you need to understand. See, the world has a warped idea. Even much of Christianity has a warped idea about the love of God. See, we're in a day where people want to pick and choose what parts of the Bible and Christianity they want and don't want. It don't work that way in Christianity. This isn't Golden Corral. It's not some kind of glorified buffet that you just pick and choose the parts you want. That's what people are trying to do today. I like that. Give me some of that. But now, yeah. You know why they do that? Because parents have raised their kids that way at the house. When I was growing up, you ate what was on your plate. I never one time sat down at the supper table and said, I don't like that. I may have said that, but I probably got my jaw smacked or my rear end busted. I sure never saw Mom one time get up and go put a microwave pizza in the microwave or a corn dog or something because I said, I don't like that. Now, we didn't do that. We ate what was on the plate. Now, there's still some things I don't like. There's still some things that I'm not crazy about, some foods. So if I go to the buffet, I'm not going to get those things. Like, give me that, give me that, give me that. I don't want that. Now, if you were to have me at your house and you fixed a meal for me and you fixed my plate, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to eat whatever's on that plate, whether I like it or not. Oh, yeah. And I'm going to be thankful for it. Amen. But see, now what we've got is people, they come to the Bible and they come to church and they say, well, I like that, but now I don't want that. Yeah, I want to hear about the blessings, but now don't talk about obedience and submission to God. I want to hear about heaven, but don't talk to me about hell. I don't want to hear about that place. Tell me about the love of God, but now I don't want to hear about the wrath of God or the judgment of God. But you can't have one without the other, brother. It's either all or nothing. And we got a lot of people, they just want to pick and choose. That's carnal Christianity right there. That's shallow Christianity. You need to learn to eat everything on your plate. Brother Bolton gets up here and preaches a message and it makes you happy. Hallelujah, shout the victory. What a blessing. But if you come in the next week and he drops the plow and he's ripping on sin, and I mean he's laying it out straight, he's nailing it to the wall, and you're getting your toes all stepped on, swallow that too. Amen. Amen. You want to know why churches like Joel Osteen and Lakewood's filling up? Because he just gives the people a bunch of sugar and a bunch of sweets and a bunch of cotton candy, but they ain't getting filled up. They're not growing. Amen. It's stagnant. It's stale. It may taste a little bit sweet for a few minutes, but it ain't going to get you through the trials. It ain't going to get you through the storms of life. Amen. But I mean the preaching of the Word of God, preaching the whole counsel of God, it'll help you every time. I was preaching. I'm still talking about the love of God. Amen. I was preaching a couple years ago out in Texas. Well, we're in Texas. North Texas. Preaching on hell one night. A young lady met me in the foyer after the service. She said, Brother Waters, how do you think God, a loving God, could allow anybody to go to hell? I said, young lady, it's like this. God sent heaven's best. He sent His Son. He sent the greatest gift this world's ever known. He died the most awful, tragic death for the sins of all mankind. And I said, and for somebody to live their whole life rejecting that and refusing that and saying no to that, when you die and you stand before God as a lost person at the white throne judgment, that day you're not going to be looking into eyes of love. You're not going to be looking in the eyes of mercy. As he says those words to the lost, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. No, it's not going to be eyes of love that day. I'm saying this, if you want to know the love of God, this is the time. Now is the time. Don't wait till it's too late. See, the world and even a lot of Christianity, they try to promote a love that is very unbalanced. They talk about the love of God, but they don't tell you the other side of that thing. Right now, He offers His love. It is available to everyone that will receive it. But if you reject it, it ain't going to work out too good for you in the end. Now's the time to know the love of God. We're talking about love in action. It is done in that sense, but we're talking about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It's past tense, but watch how the tense changes in the middle of the verse. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm saying that part of John 3:16, the first part, it's done, but yet it's still doing in the second part. You know why? Because every time a sinner who's lost and undone without God, every time he gets under conviction and realizes he's a lost sinner and he needs to be saved, and he trusts Jesus Christ, what was done some 2,000 years ago, it starts in motion all over again. What was done many years ago, it starts doing all over again for every lost sinner that'll come to Jesus in faith and repentance. It's both doing and done. And if you'll, he's already made a move toward you. Now, if you'll make a move toward him, that cross and that love, it's in action all over again. Brother Lester Roloff, many years had homes down in Texas, and again, I keep forgetting I'm in Texas today. We go a lot of places, y'all. It's Texas this week and Georgia next week and New York the week after that. That's evangelism, so sometimes I don't even know where I'm at. But we are in Texas, right? Somebody, yeah, okay, yeah, just making sure. He had homes many years down in Corpus Christi, and he tried to help troubled young people, boys and girls and men and women, and he would take some of them girls around to churches with him when he would preach, and he'd put them girls up in a choir loft like this, and they would sing a song. He would sing to them, and they would sing back to him. He'd sing, "Tell me, do you love Jesus?" They'd sing back, "Oh, yes, I love Jesus. Are you sure you love Jesus? Yes, I'm sure I love Jesus. Tell me why you love Jesus. This is why I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me." You know the writer of that old hymn there, "Oh, How I Love Jesus"? He wasn't just writing about how much he loved Jesus. He was writing about how he could love Jesus. We love him because he first loved us. This morning, I'm just trying to tell you that I'm glad there's a God in heaven that loves me, and he has shown his love to this whole world. It's available to all. If you'll just come to the end of yourself and trust him. And if you ever get in that love, you ain't getting out of it. Amen. I'm glad this morning as his child, I'm kept by the power of God. I'm in his hand and I ain't getting out. You ain't going to jump out. You ain't going to fall out. You ain't going to slip out. He's got a big hand and he's got a good grip on his children. And I'm glad that he loves me. He loves me on my good days, but thank God he loves me on my bad days. He loves me on Sunday, but he still loves me on Monday. He loves me when I get it right, and he still loves me when I get it wrong. He loves me when everything's going good, but he still loves me when everything seems to be going bad. Amen. He loves me when the Republicans are in office, and he still loves me when the Democrats are in office. He loves me with an everlasting love. I'm glad one day I got in that love and I ain't getting out. Amen. I'm glad to know today that he loves me even though I don't deserve it. He loves me even though I didn't have enough money to buy. He loves me even though I'm not highly educated. He loves me, and I'm glad, thank God, that he loves me like he does. Yeah. Kyla Rowland wrote a song many years ago. She wrote a lot of good songs. She's in heaven now, but I guess one of my favorites, that first verse said, "I started a journey many years ago, looking for rest and peace for my soul. I found it at Calvary, and truly I say, it's satisfied then and gets better each day." You can't beat the love of God. But have you trusted him yet? Are you saved? If not, it'd be a good day to get saved. A good day just to trust him. And not just know about his love, but actually experience this love. Well, let me ask you this. You say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. That is settled." Hallelujah. Do you appreciate what he did for you? Do you give attention to what he did for you? Are you beholding this manner of love? Or is it just something you got settled 40 years ago and you haven't thought about it since? If it's been a while, you might want to find you a place at this altar and just love on him a little bit. And the sweet thing is he'll love on you back. And if you're lost today, if you'll just come to him and trust him, he'll save you. Let's stand our feet if you're able this morning. Lord, I pray you'll bless the invitation. I pray that hearts have been helped today. Maybe somebody was a little bit discouraged when they came to church this morning. I hope they've been encouraged. But if there's one here today that's lost, I pray they'd get saved before it's too late. I pray they'd get that settled. Have your will and way in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to come this morning as they play and sing today, just talk to the Lord, do business with Him.